Good morning. Many of us can make that connection between addiction behaviors and grief, hurt, pain, mental anguish, and the attempts to make things better through the use of alcohol, opioids, or methamphetamines. There may be some temporary relief, but we all know it doesn't last, and it just makes things a lot worse. We should understand, when we see somebody in the throes of their addiction, we're looking at somebody who's in pain, somebody who's attempting to cover up some pain at some level. Most people are not even aware of the pain they carry because they've been carrying it for so long, most of their lives, that they are not even aware that they are clinically diagnosable as having depression. Many people in oppressed areas learn to repress the pain, learn to repress what is not comfortable, what is hurtful. Through repressing it, pushing it down, they get away from the hurt. And when they do that, they may feel somewhat numb, unable to feel pleasure. Because when you repress emotions, you also repress the ability to feel good. So there becomes this type of numb pain that so many people walk with. In the mental health field and addiction also, one of the preferred evidence-based practices for working with this type of discomfort is mindfulness. Mindfulness is proven effective for working with difficult life issues. These are the issues that typically underlie mental health and addiction problems. My name is Roland Martin. I am a drug and alcohol counselor with Empetit Luto Otifi. I'll provide more information on Empetit Luto Otifi later on in this broadcast. Today, I want to look at the practice of mindfulness as it relates to our cultural strengths. First, I want to read something about mindfulness off the internet. Mindfulness is a mental practice that involves being fully present and engaged in the moment, aware of one's thoughts and feelings without distraction or judgment. It originates from Buddhist meditation practices, but has been adopted and popularized in the Western world as a method of managing stress, anxiety, and other mental states. The core of mindfulness is a kind of non-reactive awareness where you observe your thoughts, sensations, and emotions as they are, without trying to change or judge them. This practice is often done through meditation, where one might focus on their thoughts, breath, body sensations, or everyday activities like walking or eating. Practicing mindfulness can lead to numerous benefits, including improved mental health, reduced stress levels, enhanced cognitive flexibility, better emotion regulation, and increased overall well-being. It's used in various therapeutic settings, including mindfulness-based stress reduction and mindfulness-based cognitive therapy. And here's a little more I pulled down from the Google machine. Mindfulness, while popularized through the lens of Buddhist meditation practices, shares several fundamental similarities to the natural world, views, and ways of living of many Aboriginal and Indigenous cultures around the world. These similarities often include a deep connection to the present moment, an emphasis on the interconnectivity of life, and a profound respect for nature. Here's how mindfulness relates to these aspects. Number one, connection to the present moment. Both mindfulness and Indigenous worldviews emphasize living in the present moment. Mindfulness practices teach individuals to focus on the now, observing thoughts, feelings, and sensations without judgment. Similarly, many Indigenous cultures practice being present in every aspect of life, whether it's through traditional activities like hunting, fishing, or gathering, where careful attention to the environment and present circumstances is crucial for success and survival. Another one, interconnectivity and community. Mindfulness encourages an awareness of the interconnectedness of all things. This resonates with many indigenous beliefs in a holistic connection to all elements of life, including people, animals, plants, and the earth itself. This sense of connection fosters a sense of community spirit and responsibility towards others and the environment, which is central to many indigenous cultures. So that's a little bit on mindfulness from Google. So we can see how mindfulness focuses on the stillness within the mind. Basically, it's putting aside the rational thinking mind. The rational thinking mind is the self. It's the I. It's the me that's been conditioned to think, behave, and act in a certain way that very often has unwanted consequences. This is because the rational thinking mind does not operate from a place where truth exists. I'm always going to refer back to Black Elk when he talks about the stillness, the oneness of everything. It's common for Native people, Aboriginal people around the world to always have this basis of oneness within their spiritual culture. If there is one spirit, as Black Elk talks about, then, and if we are experiencing duality, which is many, more than one, then which one's true? Isn't it possible to experience something, to see something, and then to derive meaning from it and be completely wrong? We do it every day. As far as I'm concerned, this is the basis of mindfulness. This is the strength of mindfulness. We put aside our perceptions of what we see and understand of the world, and we let the stillness where the truth exists inside to come forward. And then this truth gives us an understanding, a vision of how to see ourselves and the things around us. And this vision is typically very peaceful because it's more in line with what is true. We should understand we live in a world of perception. Everything is perception. And when we perceive wrong, it basically creates an illusionary state. It is just about automatic to believe an illusion when everybody else says it's real. And who is everybody else? Everybody else is everybody you come across since you were born. Family, friends, relatives, peers, community, society. So who is correct? The native wisdom keepers of spiritual understanding who speak of oneness, one spirit, where their source of understanding and wisdom comes from within the stillness, within the oneness? Or do we go with our perceived experience, where everything is open to interpretation, where nothing is really solid because our perceptions constantly shift? There's no foundation for it. What is true is eternal. It never changes. It's very peaceful. It's constant. It's the nature of spirit. And the practice of being in the present moment that our cultural past used to support very much in everyday life is the source for understanding, peace, correct vision, wisdom, being with what is true. When you read about Crazy Horse, it often mentions how he spent a lot of time alone in nature. That is stillness. In today's times, in the therapeutic or counseling fields, we would call that mindfulness. As far as I'm concerned, the highest form of healing will always be mindfulness. It'll always be the present moment. It'll always be setting aside the conditioned state of mind that operates on what is false. Stilling that part. Be still with that. No judgment, no thinking, no rational, no planning. No blame, just be in the present moment and let whatever comes into your mind at that moment, let it free flow. It just comes in, you observe it. Because illusion and truth cannot coexist within the mind at the same time. What is false has no effect on truth. We are never upset about facts or are upset over our interpretation of a fact. And our interpretation, if we're upset about it, it's not based in truth. It's a false understanding of an event. So the practice of stillness, being in a present moment, non-judgmental, no blaming, no reasoning, no rational part of our mind there, This is the process of healing. And when we heal, we're working at releasing what is false. We're getting the blocks out of the way of love's presence, the true nature of spirit. And this is all about healing how we see ourselves, the world around us, moving us into a more peaceful place. Peacefulness results when we learn how to be still and be in a present moment. And this has everything to do with recovery from addiction behaviors, from alcohol, opioids, or methamphetamines. There is definitely a lot more to talk about when it comes to healing and mindfulness. Again, my name is Roland Martin. I am a drug and alcohol counselor with Empeti-Luto-OTP. Empeti-Luto-OTP services are alcohol and drug assessments, DUI, DWI education classes, outpatient groups, aftercare, recovery support, medication, assisted treatment, and parenting classes. For more information about the services of Empeti-Luto-OTP, contact an office near you. In Martin, the phone number is 605-685-6400. Pine Ridge, 605-867-5595. Kyle, 605-455-2331. Wombly, 605-462-6480. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, go on to Spotify, look under Native Addiction Healing. The name of this episode will be Mindfulness and Culture. This is all I have time for today. Thank you for listening.